This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Now, I didn't play into this Fab Four talk. Right, we were talking about, like, to me it was the big three. And I don't even like that, because the big three, who was the original big three? I know the Yankees core four.
I think the big three was LeBron, Bosh, and Wade. Okay, I remember that. Yeah, I think that's the first time I really heard it.
I think you're right. And maybe it predates that, but I think you're right. That was the big three forming in Miami. And then ever since then, it was Durant and Harden and Kyrie. Mm-hmm. Whatever. There's been very different variations of the big three.
Brunson, Cat.
But for me, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Who's the third?
OG?
Yeah. Bridges one night. So to me, it was just about the big three guys in that lineup, Soto, Alonzo, Lindor, but Cohen used the term Fab Four. And I got to be honest with you, I was not familiar that the Beatles were dubbed the Fab Four. Like, when I first heard it, I was thinking Michigan as well. I know they were making fun of Evan for that on the morning show.
I didn't hear that part. I heard the morning show today with C-Mac and Jerry, but I missed this part.
So when you heard Fab Four, do you immediately think Beatles?
I think Michigan, but it's Fab Five in Michigan.
I
see Webb and those guys.
Right, but when I heard it, I think Michigan, and I was like, oh, wait a second, that was the Fab Five at Michigan.
I think maybe more Fantastic Four, the old comic superhero stuff.
So I do not think Fab Four Beatles. Anyway, that was a thing. Point is, none of them showed up in yesterday's doubleheader. We were on the air for game one of that, and I do have a major issue with Juan Soto not hustling. I know he beat it out. Mm-hmm. I have a major issue with that after watching it again, to a point where if I'm Lindor, like, enough's enough to me, and I'm not trying to pick on Juan Soto. This is, please, like, I know what's going to happen. Digital and Sal Ripso, uh-huh. Like, please spare me, okay? I'm not into the clickbait stuff on this one. Certainly not. Not really ever, but
yeah,
at least this one.
Yeah.
No, this is, if I'm Lindor, and he's the leader of this team, and I see that from, similar to what we saw from Jake Taylor going to Billy Dorn's house.
Yeah, that's great.
Hey,
that was great when his wife was there. Yeah, that was great.
If you ever pull a stunt like that again, I'll cut off your, shove him down.
Yeah, good reference. That's a good scene.
If I'm Lindor and you're a real leader, that's what I do to Soto.
Like, that's not going to happen. Not like that.
Oh, I know it's not BT, but, and I'm not saying it has to happen verbatim with that. Although I wouldn't be opposed to it. I wouldn't be opposed to it, but somebody, maybe Mendy.
Oh, that's where I was going.
Okay,
but finish up.
If it's not Lindor, then maybe somebody needs to go to Soto and say, hey, because now this is me saying this. I gave him a pass for the one in Boston. I gave him a pass for the one against the Yankees. You did not.
No.
I did. So now, I like that one yesterday to me is inexcusable. Now he made it, which makes it easier because either Lindor, who's the leader of the team, or Mendy can go to him and say, you made it. Don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that again. You're getting paid a lot of money here. I'm not saying you got to bust it out of the box and run like Nimmo every single time.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to hustle. And he did not hustle on that play. He pulled up. Like, he wasn't even running.
No.
If you were running hard throughout front, that's saying you got to be blazing speed or try to beat it out, run down the first baseline. Inexcusable not to. Somebody needs to send the message because that can't happen. It didn't hurt them yesterday. Their offense, their pathetic lack of offense hurt them in both those games yesterday. But that, to me, would be inexcusable.
See, but you say it didn't hurt them yesterday, and I know what you mean, but I still think it hurts them downstream. I mean, there's a lot of young kids on this team who are impressionable, who are in the early stages of careers. Whether Vientos stays or goes, Beatty stays or goes, Acuna stays or goes, Alvarez gets back, stays or goes. You just don't see leaders and grinders doing that. You know, David, I know the documentary is coming out on David Wright. David Wright with a bad back didn't do that. Derek Jeter never did that. You will never see Aaron Judge do that. Even when Judge is 37 and diminished, he's just not going to do that. The problem, though, is we can identify what needs to change, but I'm going to spare everybody the waste of time. It's not going to change. I'm going to tell you why. When you're in a new situation, generally, most people, whether it's a new radio station, a new baseball team, a new law firm, whatever, your first, a new team, anything in life, no matter how old you are, your first inclination, it's human nature, is to try to impress upon everybody that you're diligent, that you're talented, that you're worthy of being here. And we all know he's incredibly talented and worthy of being there.
And I do think he works hard.
I do, too. At his craft, certain aspects of his craft, I agree with that. But the fact that he's doing this now when he just got here and there's a honeymoon period, you know, like, to me, that's just telling me that down the road, now he's going to hit for the Met fan, but down the road, there's going to be a consistent issue for the Met fan. Take that one to the bank.
Which is why Mendoza's got to nip it in the bud. And I think that the issue is that he hit a number to second and he was mad at himself.
Yeah, that was totally
okay,
it.
So then, Juan, you have two ways to handle this. A, stop hitting numbers. B, if you do, run to first base. That's it. There are only two ways to solve this. You don't like having to run out a number to second, then stop hitting a number to second with guys on base. Easy fix. And if you do hit one, because not everybody's perfect, the least you could do is run to first base. That's it. Now, I didn't have an issue with Mendoza. I know Mendoza was getting ripped yesterday for the Peterson decision. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem is Stanek. Stanek is not very good, so the Mets need high leverage on him.
But the manager's got to know that. Yeah. And he went to him willingly. Stay with Peterson.
What, and pitch a complete game again?
They threw it, yeah.
Oh, come on. He gave up a base hit. You start him in the
eighth
inning. It was
a five-hopper the other way. It wasn't squared up with a bullet.
You start him in the eighth inning. You can't.
Come on,
he gave up a base
man.
Hit. What are you going to do? You're going to push him, and then it would be, Mendoza stuck with Peterson.
It's the All-Star break coming up. I know he's now an All-Star, and that was good for him. But, yes, 100% he should have stayed. But
I did not have a major issue with that. And it's also not the reason they lost the game. They lost the game because when we were here in the first inning,
They couldn't hit.
That's it. So that's why they lost game one specifically. And then you could even say the same thing in game two. You have a bullpen game that we're not set up to win. Now, I'm not going nuts about the losses because even though you don't like losing series, especially to the team that you're better than, they'll be better now. Starting with tonight with Senga back, Manaea coming back this weekend, they're going to add in the bullpen. So the Mets held their head above water getting to the All-Star break this through. Now, assuming they don't get swept here, but even with that, like, they survived against the Brewers and the Yankees. They won a game against Baltimore. Go in the series, all is forgotten here. Get to the All-Star break and build off of that. But it was an ugly day, and to me, mostly because of that quote-unquote Fab Four that was nowhere to be found.
Well, as I said, you know, coming off the Brewers and the Yankees for sure, you know, they did definitely stabilize their season, and not that it's been destabilized. I'm not saying that here, but, I mean, yesterday's a bad look for the Mets here. I mean, the Orioles stink, okay? Now, a couple things we got to get into. You touched on Soto. I agree. Unacceptable for any new... If when Cat's not in great shape or loafing up and down the court or Soto's doing it or other Yankees, like, we get on them. That's the bare minimum expectation. We pay a lot of money. We invest a lot of time. Run. Just give us effort. Nothing else needs to be said. That's self-explanatory. The offense. This is why they need a bat. The Mets scored 4 runs in 18 innings yesterday. Their top 4 hitters who are supposed, and have been carrying the mail, quite frankly, to be fair, but when they don't hit, they don't do anything, and that's a problem. So the top 4 hitters for the Mets yesterday were 5-for-27. They lost 3-1 the first game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
We're 2-for-14 with 5 strikeouts. They lose 7-3. The second game, they were 3-for-13 with a couple of whiffs in game 2. Now, that it's not that I'm going nuts on it, getting swept to a bad Orioles team in mid-July. No, that's even though it's not a great look, but that's fine. It's a long season. We get that. But this, to me, is emblematic of what ails the Mets the most. And every time you and I get into this, and I got to see if these guys are healthy and the new pitchers, and if they're not, well, maybe you need the arm, and you definitely need the bullpen arm. I'm going to say this until the cows either come home or take a nap. If people don't think the Mets need a real bat, you are nuts.
You see, I disagree with that.
But when the top four don't hit, they don't do anything.
Okay, so bring in one bat. You think he's going to make a difference?
He may have yesterday. You lost 3-1.
If they don't hit, the Mets aren't going to win. It's those
but
three
if,
guys.
If nobody hits, you're not going to win. But you've got to increase the chances.
They have three superstar bats.
Who did nothing yesterday and they lost.
Oh, okay. But that's what happens. When Aaron Judge doesn't hit, generally the Yankees lose.
Judge didn't do much last night. Yanks won. I agree with that. I know what you mean about Judge, but that's one of my problems with the Yankees.
Understood. It's one game. The Mets' big three
guys. It's not one game. They're hitting .209 with runners in scoring position. 21st in baseball. It's horrendous.
Those big three have to hit. If they don't,
you don't think they need another bat?
No, I'm saying that.
A big bat.
I'm saying that I don't think that that's going to solve the issues. If those guys don't hit, they won't win.
Okay.
So I don't care which bat. Who's the biggest bat you could bring in? So Eugenio Suarez?
Yeah,
okay.
Maybe.
Yeah, okay. If you bring him in and Alonso and Soto and Lindor don't produce, they're not winning anyway.
Unless Suarez hits a 3-run home run, then you might win.
I mean,
and by the way, firstly, he's a home run hitter, so he might. And with these pitchers coming back, you know, it might be a 2-run homer or a 2-run double. Now, Vientos started to swing the bat a little bit better. I know he struck out on 3 pitches. One, I think that was game 2. But he came in for Winker, hit a couple on the screws. And maybe that's a good sign, all right? But to me, and again, this has really been my point about the Mets for a while. Like, and I know that this applies to other teams too, but if their top 3 or 4 don't hit, they don't score. And to me, that is a recipe to lose in the wild card. Forget about the NLCS. Now, you very well might get in the first series, Lindor hits, 412, Soto hits 3 bombs, 9 RBIs. That's totally possible because those guys are studs. But baseball, it ain't basketball. You know Brunson's pumping in 30. You don't know Lindor's going to have a great series. You just like Judge. You don't know if he's going to have. Matter of fact, he really hasn't had many. He's had more bad than good. So to me, I'm just trying to increase the odds of giving my offense a chance to win. And if the first four guys don't hit, if I bring somebody else that can, and now you got Buxton with a hand injury, who knows how long he's going to be down. He's hurt. I don't think the Mets' offense is good enough, and I've said this from day one.
Yeah, I just believe in those big three, and they will go as those guys go, regardless of who the acquisition is. Now, do I trust Nimmo to be consistent? I don't. He could be the fourth piece of that. I do trust Lindor. I 100% trust Soto, and I 100% trust Pete Alonso. And if they don't get it done, they're going to lose because of that. Like, I don't think there's a move to be made that can change that or enhance that. Lengthen out the lineup, maybe get a professional bat in center. By the way, I would not go after Cedric Mullins after watching him these three games. Like, he's not enough of a difference maker. He's an upgrade. He's a proven vet. He's not enough of a difference maker to me. Now, again, I don't think they need a superstar, but I need some type of impact bat to help you at the bottom of the order or in center field specifically. And he just, to me, there's not enough of an upgrade there over Tyrone Taylor or even Jeff McNeil in center field.
Okay, we got to get back to something that we disagree on, and we got to have a little conversation about your manager, who suddenly is looking very lost. Mendoza has had two bad weeks. Now, specific to yesterday, if Peterson was a low-pitch guy, I'd say, you know what, Sal, you're right. In May, of his five starts, all right, three, he went over 100 pitches. June 11th, 106. July, 103. You got a doubleheader. You know you're going to use arms all day. Now, if he starts and he gives up a rocket that goes 470 and it's flat, all right, he's at a manageable number. You start the eighth inning. I know you give up a single. It was fairly soft, and you pull it. So to me, there was two mistakes. Number one, Peterson's five times better than Stanek, who, if Stanek is anywhere near an important situation in the playoffs, leave the stadium because the Mets are not winning that game. He's awful, all right? And he's got to be relegated to, like, long release. He stinks. Number two, this was...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Escape the heat to True North Convenience Stores and get any size True Oasis Fountain Drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi Fountain Drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This was an awful look for Mendoza. When you bring in the righty, you're saying, hey, Gunner, grab your bat. You're inviting a lefty who's not having a great season, to be fair, but is an incredibly talented young player, as we know. We wish that was Volpe, really. What happens? Bang, two-run jack. So you willingly take out somebody who's so much better than Stanek and is a lefty that would have kept Gunner on the bench or neutralized his ability to do what he did. I don't know where else to... Like, there were three mistakes made in 30 seconds.
Well, but they don't have a high-leverage arm that they could use.
They had it on the mound. You should have stayed with Peterson.
Yeah, but to me, that's just... for me, it's a second guess. I have no issue with that. Well, think about what we're talking about now. Complaining about taking a pitcher out in the eighth inning.
Yeah.
It's 2025.
But when you lose the game, it's okay to go back and say maybe it was the wrong move.
No, see, to me, that's where we fundamentally disagree. It shouldn't be about the result. Just because the result wasn't the right one does not mean it's the wrong move. So now we're all going to be, hey, push the pitcher. Because you lost and it didn't work out, every starting pitcher that's better than the bullpen arm, because they are, every starting pitcher should be better than every bullpen arm outside of one or two in your pen. And the Mets right now have one, Edwin Diaz, that would be better than the majority of their starters, if not all of them. Every other one is going to be less than. Reed Garrett, Brazoban, you name it, they're worse than the starter, especially David Peterson. That doesn't mean that Peterson's going to be effective in the eighth or ninth inning. Like, you just can't do it. And it can't always be about, it's also a doubleheader there. He maybe had his map of who we wanted in game
one. But you got to deal with the map. Don't tell me about the lanes and the maps. You got to react to what's in front of you.
But they had a bullpen game in game two.
I know what they had, which is more reason to keep Peterson out there.
Yeah, well, he was trying to go with his higher leverage right now.
The guy's ERA is 6 for the last 5 weeks.
Right now, Stanek is one of their higher leverage guys. I don't trust him, but Stanek has been the guy. One of the guys.
But that doesn't make it right. How do you let this guy go off the hook?
Who are they supposed to pitch?
Peterson!
He's not going to pitch the whole game.
I know, but Sal, give him another batter for crying out loud.
He gave up a hit. So if he gives
up... It's a five-hopper!
If he gives up another... If he gets another batter and then gives up a hit, then what do you do?
Then it might be a different evaluation.
Oh, okay, so now we're talking about one batter. So
but at least there's more evidence to support the move to pull him out.
He tried to get out in front of it saying, you know what?
And he was wrong.
Okay, but just because the results...
Because he's had a bad 2 weeks.
I disagree.
What do you mean disagree? He's messed up with Peterson alone twice. I mean, so all the times you told me...
How's he messed up with Peterson?
You've told me a million times, and I like Mendoza, but a little bit of the shine is off the rock all of a sudden. Like, he has made some mistakes the last couple of weeks with the pitching. And one of the things you told me was, unlike Boone, he's a gut guy. Yeah. Well, the gut's not working out the way it once did.
Okay, who are the options that they have in the staff
right now?
I'm
going to say it again. Peterson.
No. You're talking about the last couple of weeks. I'm assuming you're aware of their roster situation.
Very aware. Which is why I know that Stanek's ERA is awful.
And he's still one of their better options.
And he decided to go to him.
He's one of their better options.
He's not a better option than Peterson.
What about the other 2 weeks? And you're going based just off of the results.
No, that's not... You don't know what I'm thinking in real time.
You just said that.
No, but I'm saying that's what he's thinking. Right. You don't know what I'm thinking. Listen, the thing with the Mets, they're not whole. So I'm not going nuts on this.
So how is it the
year
manager's fault when every arm that they go to in the bullpen sucks?
Because if you've got a chance to avoid going to one of those arms, I would do it.
Okay, so now, Peterson should have thrown 100-plus pitches.
Well, why not? He's done it before.
Yeah, okay.
He's done it before. I just gave you the numbers. He's done it.
What were you saying yesterday? You were worried about Peterson because he had a couple
of bands. I was, but that doesn't mean he didn't throw a gem.
Okay, so he was pitching a gem yesterday. They took him out in the eighth inning. He didn't take him on the sixth or the seventh. It was the eighth inning.
But, Sal, he did not have a laborious seventh inning. If he threw a 27-pitch seventh inning, I'm like, all right, the residue. And that's what they look at.
He's got a bullpen game.
He was clean sailing, man.
He's got a bullpen game coming up after that. Going into the Yankee series 1 week ago, I thought the Mets were going to be destroyed because they have no pitching. They had 3 games against the Yankees, one of which was started by an actual starter. How do you survive that? Not to mention that the rest of their bullpen, so not only their rotation, their bullpen is depleted.
That's why we gave him credit for being the Yankees
twice.
Okay,
I'm
going to
give you some names. Chris Devinsky, Alex Carrillo.
Horrendous.
Rico Garcia.
Dude, the names
are a joke.
Justin
Hageman.
I agree.
Richard Lovelady. Ryan Stanek. Brandon Waddell. This is the Mets bullpen right now.
No, but
every which way you turn, it's not good enough. Like, this is their staff right now. This is their staff. I mean, that is just not good enough.
I agree with that. But I know you know what I'm saying, but I think you're still missing it. I know the bullpen stinks, which is why I'm going to be fair to Mendoza in totality.
Like
that's Stearns' job.
Stanek, Garrett, and Brazovan are three of their best arms.
They're arsonists at this point. They're bringing matches and gas cans to the fight. They all stink right now. So if you have a chance to avoid that, all I'm saying, Sal, is you avoid it. Now, it was okay when he threw 106 pitches on July 3rd. It was okay when he threw 103 pitches back on May 15th. I've got every game log in front of me. Mm-hmm. I went back and I made sure that I looked over this to make sure that I'm not being unfair. If this is not a Clark Schmidt situation, which you and I both agreed upon, you don't push because he was never going to finish the 8th, let alone the 9th, to try to get that stupid no-hitter, which some people, they disagreed. Oh, I want to see history. Not at, now he's hurt anyway, but not at the risk of an irresponsible pitch count. Peterson was not David Pitt, Doug Peterson football. David Peterson was not in the middle, nor was he at the end of a reckless situation. He was fully in command. He was fully in charge. The options suck behind him. And not only do they stink as pitchers, but you invited one of the young studs in baseball to get off the bench. And what did he do? Bang, two-run shot. Yeah, I mean, and you don't blame the manager on that?
No, I don't.
You're nuts with this.
I blame the pitcher for giving up. Stanek has been one of the better relievers that they've had.
Not in the last 6 weeks, Al.
No, the last several times out, he's been okay. Overall, they're not very good. Stanek has been one of the more reliable arms. He is the more trusted arm right now in the bullpen. Outside of Diaz, that's it. Stanek, Garrett, Brazovan would be the three high-leverage guys. And they're just not good enough. I don't know. So you needed Peterson to finish the game. He wasn't going to finish the game. And if he didn't, and the Mets didn't hit. Like, who's more of a culprit for the game yesterday? Mendoza?
The hitting.
Okay.
No, I said that, though. Yeah. That's why I ran through the night. Okay, that's so why they need a bat.
So now,
there's multiple issues from yesterday. Not just one.
If he stuck with Peterson, which, by the way, he let Peterson start the 8th inning. Which in today's day and age, for a manager to let a starting pitcher start the 8th inning, the majority of those guys would be fired from the data-driven front office for having a starting pitcher start the 8th inning. That's a fact in today's game.
I don't know if it's a fact when you're in your mid-80s. Like, if you're like 97, yeah. I understand the tone in baseball.
Don't want to see the guys a third or fourth time through. Okay, so
I applaud him for that.
He let him start the 8th inning.
Then he got tight.
He gave up a base hit.
What? Did he? It was like five hopper the other way.
All right, whatever. A guy
he barely
on.
Got around on it.
A guy on. If anything, I think you can make a better case for starting.
Was that Kowser? I think that was Colton Kowser, right?
If anything, I think you can make a case for starting the inning clean with a reliever. But he wanted to push Peterson, see as far as he could go. If he got the first out, maybe he's going to get another one. I didn't hear the post game afterward if he said it was a predetermined plan going into that inning. I think he said it was going to take it batter for batter, batter by batter. And his gut, whatever, he went with it. It was wrong. I mean, that's what managers do.
So I'm trying to think of the Yankees equivalent to Peterson. Maybe let's say Schmidt before he gets hurt. Something like that, right? If the game is where it was with Peterson yesterday. And Boone pulls Schmidt for a stiff. And not even to mention the whole lefty righty. I mean that's just baseball 101. I don't know how he's not getting crushed for that. Like that is, and I like Mendy. That's stupid.
Yeah, you could crush him.
That is stupid. But like if Boone did that and somebody Gunnar Henderson did a 2-run bomb off Loaisiga, who's trash right now, I'd be saying the same thing. I'd be like, what are you doing? Let him eat.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
guess
all I'm saying.
I would not. I'd be saying the same thing the other way. He took him out of the game. I mean, I can't kill Mendoza for having his starting pitcher start the 8th inning, give up a base hit. Okay, see if Stanek get the job done. It's not his fault Stanek sucks and can't get an out and gives up a gopher ball right away. That's not Mendy's
fault.
That's
on Stearns, which is a different conversation. Stearns got to get some. He better wake up.
What do you mean Stearns?
You got to get some pitches in
well,
the area.
Well,
oh, my
will.
God.
Yeah. No, I get it. Good news is the Mets are getting healthier with their rotation. Yankees obviously on a roll, winning 4 straight. Mets activating Kodai Senga. Who'd they designate? Rico Garcia designated for assignment. So one of those great bullpen arms that we talked about. He actually wasn't bad yesterday, eating some innings. He is DFA'd, and Kodai Senga will be back tonight to take the mound for the Mets in Kansas City. Back to the Yankees. Eddie is in center reach. What's up, Eddie?
Yeah, how you doing, guys? I want to talk about how positivity the Yankees are. Look at what they did. You know, 0-35 with after last night. 0-35, 5 runs down in the 7th inning. They broke the streak on that. It was clutch. Wells, what a clutch hit with 2 out. Volpe, great slide. Stanton, first pinch hit, home run of his career.
Don't forget Grisham, leading things off. Grisham, base hit, lead it off.
Bellinger, 50 game hitting streak.
Yeah, yeah.
And did you see Devin Williams, how pumped up he was when he got that third out?
I noticed that.
Pumped up. And I got a trade proposal.
Okay.
Dominguez to Chisholm to Cleveland for Kwan and Ramirez.
At least it's somewhat realistic, Eddie, and thank you for the call. I was going to hesitate there because the way the call was going, I thought maybe we were going to get a less realistic trade offer. But Dominguez and who do you say?
I just said Jazz.
Oh, yeah, Dominguez and Jazz
for Kwan Ramirez. Yeah. And Ramirez.
You would do
that. Actually, not there. I mean, did he say Dominguez and Jazz or just Jazz?
Dominguez and Jazz. You would do that. You'd have to from a Yankee perspective. Oh, dude.
I don't know. They got my brain twisted in knots these last couple days. I don't know if I want to do that.
No, but that one you'd have to do. I get not wanting to give up on the potential of Dominguez. You're getting Ramirez back. He's the best player. And now you're losing Jazz. But do you think Jazz is going to sustain?
He's not a 315 hitter.
That's the point.
No, but I will say this, though. There are not many. There are some examples, and Paul O'Neill is one of them, where he came over from Cincinnati, didn't play against the lefties, had one approach, and won a batting title. Now, I think that was the shortened season in 94, but obviously hit 300 a bunch of times and was a stud and a grinder and a really just professional at bat. So I still see Jazz swinging from his shoes quite a bit, which is not what you're looking for. But
a home run derby, by the way.
I know. That's probably going to only make it worse. But he is on a great run, and it's fun to see. But no, he's not a pure high average hitter. I'm with you on that. Did you see the number? No, I mean, I'm very curious how they actually find this. Hoff, if you know, let me know. Like, it's such a random stat. Like, who the hell even looks for this? Last night, the Yankees were the first team since 1977.
Right.
The Pirates. To be no hit through the first seven and have a 5-run deficit and simultaneously overcome both and win the game. Like, how do you even dig for that stat?
Right, but that makes sense. Like, to me, that's not surprising. The majority of the time, if you're getting no hit through seven innings,
you're going to lose, not let alone being down by five, not correct. One or two. No, I'm not saying that I think it's common. Right. It's definitely not common.
Right.
But how do you find, well, the 1970s, I think it was in June, the June 6th of 1970s.
Was it Sarah Langs who had that?
No,
I did see that.
Katie Sharp.
It was Katie Sharp has it. That's what she does, right? She has Yankees stats? I forget exactly what she does, but Katie Sharp always has these great numbers on there.
I don't know. She's just Yankees. I saw it on the Yes Network. Then I saw it on social media floating around. I just don't know. Is there a database where you just type in something random? Obviously. I'm serious. How do you find that? I'd like to know the answer.
Yeah. I would never know where to begin researching that.
That's what I'm saying.
Baseball Reference game log.
Roto sheet. Yeah. You'd have to go through every single game in the existence of baseball. It's an amazing uncovering of a wacky stat.
Which made it even more of an incredible comeback win when you look at that. Ronald is calling from Idwood, New York. What's up, Ronald?
Yeah, what's up, guys?
Hey, Ron.
I'm calling because I was there in the Fanatic Fest and I saw the whole setup you guys had. It was beautiful. You got guys by the signing, and then I called in that day on Sunday, the last day. I called in and I asked BT, can the Yankees become back to the old days? And you hit me with the, you ever seen Sopranos? You know.
Oh yeah. The lowest form of human communication. Yeah, you remember when? Yeah, I use that one a lot. Yes.
Yeah, that bit. And now I just got excited when I saw the Yankees because I left that game in the sixth inning and they were down 6-0, I believe. And I left it there and then I woke up today, that I woke up to you guys that I wanted to call back and remind you. That's what it is.
You left last night's game, you're talking about?
Yeah, last night.
Oh, man, Ron, that sucks, bro. You got to stick it out.
Come on, Ron.
You got to stick it out with your club. Man, you're giving up hope. Come on. Come on, man. Well, this is the Yankees.
I was laying down in bed, and right there.
It happens. We'll give you a little pass on this, Ron. We met you. You're a good dude. Yeah, I mean, listen, the remember when thing. Now instead of saying, hey, remember when the Yankees used to grind out at bats with, like, Bernie and everybody? Now it's like, remember when the Yankees DFA'd DJ?
Yeah.
Here we go. Those are remember whens that I want to hear.
That's why.
Remember when they decided to stick with Dominguez leading off? Yeah, I'll do those remember whens.
That's why I think it's more than just about the four straight wins, but the sweep over the Mariners or even the performance last night and coming back. It's more than that. It's the culmination of Number one, the organization finally, for whatever reason, acknowledging now, like whatever reason it took for them to get here today or whatever it was the other day, moving Jazz to second. That's number one. Number two, finally, after years of begging and yelling and screaming for them to move on from LeMahieu, finally they decided this week to move on from LeMahieu. So those are two huge things that fans have wanted to see happen. The Yankees woke up and made those moves. And then you throw in the fact that they have been winning and they've been looking good in doing so. You mentioned Schlittler. You throw him in there as well. A young starter, a fireballer, with a power pitcher with potential. Again, who knows if it's going to be able to be maintained. Same thing with the offense. Who knows if it's going to be able to be maintained here. But there are reasons to believe that it's different because it is different now based on some moves that they've made this week.
Yeah, it is different because they're finally becoming different, which is why it just feels different now. And for the reasons that Sal just said, obviously I don't need to restate them, but there's been, whether it's an awakening or a recalibration or an acknowledgement, whatever word you want to use, the Yankees are doing business just a little differently, and it's all we wanted.
Yeah.
We've been screaming for this.
And the same week, Brian Cashman basically come out and said, we're going for it. Like,
yeah.
Which you didn't need to hear that from him, but I thought his press conference, which, you know, they go on and on and on with Cashman, he gives the long answers, which is great because he's transparent. You have to come away from that, aside from the maybe soft spot or blind spot with Volpe, even though I agree with him to a certain extent, you have to come away with knowing that he's going to do whatever it takes to build the best team possible. The only question is, do you trust him to get the right pieces to build this team to go out there and win a World Series when he hasn't really done that?
I hear you. He hasn't in a long time. I actually do. That's like one of the things I trust most about him. Because, you know, he brought in Jazz a year ago. He's made, now, some of the other moves that I mentioned, well, Fielder was actually Bob Watson in 96. But, you know, David Justice, there's been other moves here. I think for the first time in a long time, now I'm not saying that they did what they did because they reacted to what the noise around the team has been. But when Brian Cashman talks about the team, the future, whatever, he's, I'm going to use the word a little, like, he's a little arrogant. Like, he doesn't really care what we think or say. I felt like, what was the word he said? We're going to, what was the exact phrase?
I
like,
it
was
very aggressive. Mentioned it before, I forget. Yeah.
I know, we did mention it before. Whatever it was, we're going to bust out, or we're going to, whatever it was. I think that that was his message to Yankee fans, which he never does. Like, hey, I hear you.
Anthony's calling from Manalapan. What's up, Ant?
What's going on, guys? You were asking how do people get these crazy stats. So there's this website, statmuse.com.
Yeah, I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah, you could type in anything.
Go to town was the word that Cash like used.
Yes, go to town. Thank you. Go ahead.
It's like an AI-generated like thing that you could, baseball focus. You could type in any question at all. Who was the last team to be no-hit through 8 innings, 7 innings, whatever, and be down by 5 runs and still win, and it'll spit it out right back at you.
Yeah, I mean, I knew they weren't going through roto sheet or encyclopedias. I'm very curious, like, how they, good, I got the answer, finally.
I don't believe that that's the case.
What?
I mean, I know StatMuse is AI. I don't believe that that's how Katie Sharp is getting her information. There's no way. Because then why couldn't just anybody and everybody do that?
Because not everybody in the business fixates on those quirky things. Maybe they could.
All right, so let's try it.
Try it. Okay,
Stat News right here. Give me something to look up.
When was the last time the last Major League Baseball team to overcome, of course, I'm giving you a lengthy one, 10-run deficits in back-to-back games? I'll take you back to the 1800s. Let's see how good this is, Stat News.
How do you spell deficits?
Deficits. He's about deficits.
Come on,
at least you type pretty quick. Yeah. Get those fingers moving over that. That's all the scripts over at SNY.
It wasn't clear.
No
see,
way.
All right, look, this is what I put into StatMuse. Uh-huh. When was the last baseball team to overcome? I guess I should have said who was the last baseball team to overcome. Who was the last baseball team to overcome 10-run deficits in back-to-back games?
Okay, if you want to, you can even say back-to-back 10-run deficits. Maybe it's a little cleaner, but either way, okay.
Let's see.
Anything popping up?
It pulls up. Okay, the Texas Rangers played when scoring 10-plus runs against the Angels yesterday. That's exactly what it said.
Brilliant.
The
AI.
Texas Rangers played when scoring 10-plus runs against the Angels yesterday.
Feel better about our future.
Seven.
Can't even construct a normal sentence. It's not even, it's a fragmented sentence.
I'm saying, I don't know it. Hoff, are you saying the StatMuse thing? Maybe you're better with this, BT, than I am, but I legit...
I don't think so. I think you typed in what I would have typed in since I told you to type it in.
Let me just say who was. Okay, who was the last baseball team to... This is what I'm saying. You got to give Katie Sharpe some more credit.
I'm not trying to discredit her. I just... Yeah. I mean, I can promise you she's not going through, like, paper pamphlets.
So it took... Who was the last team... Who was the last baseball team to overcome 10-run deficits in back-to-back games? It took that and said who was the last baseball team to score 10 runs in a game, I think. Because you have the Rangers yesterday scoring 11 runs, Red Sox on July 9th scoring 10 runs.
Not back-to-back, though, so it's not even fully complete.
It has what it does here is it has all the teams who have scored more than 10 runs.
This year? And then you could go and do an...
There's a million teams here that have
But then you'd have to do a more specified search and look for anybody who did it maybe back-to-back. So it's not, it's partially AI generated.
But I wrote that in there. What, AI can't digest that information?
Come on, step it up, AI.
I got to be honest. I looked on Google and their AI got real lazy. Like, yeah, this stat's not really well searched out, so we're not going to give you anything.
Yeah, I mean,
that's
exactly
what they said.
Humans.
So I still don't have my answer.
We need humans. No, I think Katie Sharpe. Why don't we try getting Katie Sharpe on and we could just ask her flat out, see how she comes up with it.
What happened there? Did you have a dirty version of it or something? Why'd you fade out of that so quickly? I was enjoying that song. Well, you pulled it down so quickly. What happened?
Half told me to because there was a word that shouldn't be on the air coming up.
Wow. See? I knew it. Now I love that song.
I know. I didn't plan it out perfectly. I'm
okay,
sorry.
That's all right.
But usually much better than that at all.
Good job getting out of it. Couple of things here. By the way, you mentioned David Wright earlier when we were talking about like the Mets could use a leader, either Mendoza or Lindor to go to Soto and just let him know that that's got to stop, the lack of hustle or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the Wright documentary last night. I got to send you the link.
You still see, you didn't send it to me yet. You said you were going to send it.
Yeah, I know. Well,
it's a big file.
It is.
I know. It's 2 hours.
Correct.
Yeah.
2 hours. Now, for us, because like, we get the advanced copy, there's no commercials in it, so it was 1 hour and 40.
Nice.
So I started it last night after the Yankee game, because I was on SNY at 11. So I was like, all right, I have some time to kill between the Yankee ending and SNY. Let me start this thing. I'm probably going to have to watch it over the course of the next couple of days. You know, it's hard to find the time with the games going on, with you know what I'm saying? Like, daughter, the dog. It's like, I'm lucky I could breathe here
the
for
Bears.
2 minutes. I got, exactly. Uh-huh. So I put it on. Dude, I could not stop.
Yeah, I saw your tweet.
I was up to 1:30 watching it.
What?
Yeah.
Did you sleep at all?
I'm sorry, 12:30. I was up till 12:30 watching it. So, because I watched like a half hour before SNY.
Yeah.
Then after I was done with SNY, I watched it the rest of the show. It was not only great to relive Wright and his career and the highlights and all that stuff, but the thing that makes David so special, and by the way, it is a great job by SNY and Joe Krause, and I think it's the best one that they've done. They've done a bunch of these,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of them are just like, okay, we knew that stuff, and okay, let's talk to this person, that person. There were a lot of different people that they talked to, including Wright's parents, which I'm not familiar with them before.
I know his dad was a detective in Virginia.
You'd like it. Mom was a teacher.
I didn't know that part.
But
nice.
They go over the beginning, how he was a little leaguer. And, dude, it was not some, like...
They have any footage from when he was playing?
Yes.
Oh!
Yeah, so... And Colt would love it, too. Like, being a little leaguer. So, point is, you see him, a very blue-collar family.
Uh-huh.
Young, humble, but confident kid, trying to figure out what it takes to be a big leaguer. And he was never chasing a big leaguer. He was chasing... The first one was, well, I just want to get my scholarship paid for.
Okay.
And then it was... Well, I'd love to play in my hometown minor league ballpark in Norfolk.
Uh-huh.
And then obviously getting called up to the Mets. And then it goes... it to me was symbolic of life at times where there's not always a happy ending, but there were great ups and downs. And even though it's sad with how it ended for Wright, there is still great joy in being that, A, he's getting his number retired by the Mets next week. And B, he did get to come back after experiencing the highs of 06 and then the lows of 07 and 08 and all the lean years. He comes back and gets to the World Series in 2015 and hits a home run of the World Series.
I remember that like it was yesterday. Yeah, I'm so happy for him.
The WBC stuff, Captain, there's so much there. It gives me goosebumps. And it couldn't have happened to a better guy. And I came away after... Now, you know, like Piazza was always my guy. I thought Beltran was the best Met on those teams, and you and I have had disagreements with that. I came away definitively, and maybe it shouldn't have taken me the reminder of watching this documentary the right way. It'll premiere next week on SNY. Maybe it shouldn't have taken me this to feel this way, but I don't think there is any doubt that when you encompass everything outside of Tom Seaver, David Wright is the greatest Met that ever lived. Outside of Seaver.
So...
encompassing everything. Homegrown.
You don't have to sell me. I'm just saying, I love David Wright.
But think of all the others. You know, we had Keith, Straw, Doc.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it. Piazza. Yeah, for sure.
Kuzmin, whatever. I'm just going over the retirement.
Yeah, no, I got you. Young Nolan Ryan. He was young, no. Okay, so, but I'm curious. You're a Mets fan. Yeah. Why did it take you so long to appreciate this guy?
I don't know. I don't know.
To me, paralleled Mattingly so much.
He failed in the 2000s. Here's, I think, a part of it. He was built up to such a high level before he set foot on the field.
Yes, and totally.
And to me, okay, well, the golden boy who could do no wrong, he better be great. And in 2006, while he had a good regular season, he did not deliver in the playoffs against the Cardinals. I talked about this with Wright when we had him on a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first, like, okay, he didn't get the job done against the Cardinals. Not to mention, BT, they fell short. Like, we always judge teams' results versus expectations. Well, the expectations were that 06 team should have been playing in the World Series.
He was a kid, though. He's 23, 24 years old.
Understood.
Give the kid a chance.
Understood, but that was the first knock against him. 2007. Yeah. 2008. While it wasn't him.
Collapses.
He was
the best player on the team, so he was in the middle of it.
Those collapses, that group collapsed.
Yeah.
And then what really happened, because I remember believing in him going into the 2009 season, so much so that, like, while I was playing fantasy baseball back at the time, thinking he's going to be the MVP, this will be the year, big clutch moments, Piazza-like moments. He hits the first home run at Citi Field outside for a Met. Jody Garrett or whatever hit one for the Padres. But he hit the first home run at Citi Field as a Met, and it was a big one. And I'm like, all right, away.
I don't know if I remember this one.
Yeah, it was huge. The Great Wall of Flushing is how he called it. It was a huge, I want to say a three-run homer that either tied the game or gave them a lead. But I remember being there, had my whole family. First game at Citi Field was a huge deal. New ballpark.
Yeah, for sure.
And for him to hit that home run was, I thought, symbolic. And then it didn't go that way because they built a ballpark that did not cater to him.
He had no home runs.
And he was never the same after that. He built his way up a little bit, but he was never that. And then the injuries started to happen. So, I mean, that's maybe why. And I also thought Beltran at his peak. Remember, you put up right numbers, sure. Beltran at his peak, Delgado at his peak with the Mets. Those guys were putting up monster
numbers. But
they weren't
drafted by the Mets.
I get it. I know, but I'm not big into the homegrown thing.
You know what? You're consistent with that.
Yeah. Now, years later, and knowing the person that David Wright is, which I value more than his greatness on the field, but his leadership, his production, his attitude, his mentality, his work ethic, all the things that he experienced from the 06 season to the 2015 season, I think by far he is the, outside of Tom Seaver, the greatest Met that has ever lived.
I mean, I don't know how else I can give the ultimate compliment to somebody. Like, to me, I look at David Wright. If my sister, when we were younger, would have come home with somebody like David Wright.
I know. That's the thing.
But, like, you nailed it. Someday my daughter, God willing, comes home with somebody like David Wright. I'm like, okay, right decision.
So I felt that, like, with Jeter. Now, I know Jeter Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but same with Jeter, too. If I had somebody like David Wright on any of the teams that I play, and I don't mean maybe literally, but when I was older, to have different type of, like, adult relationships, I think he'd be my best friend. Like, the guy is a winner. And there's something to be said for the story. And, you know, Mattingly is here and Wright is here and Ewing. Like, at the end of the day, we're all infallible, clearly. But we're all fallible. I know it didn't come out. We're all fallible. But it seems like the fallibility of certain stars, especially like when it's an injury thing or they're just they're drafted at the wrong time and the franchise is a mess and you just feel like, to me, I almost get a deeper connection with those guys. Mattingly's back, even though Wright's a Met, his back.
Yeah.
Ewing, bad knees, never had the second superstar, which is never easy. Like, that resonates with me.
And this is why it's a must watch for not just Met fans, but for baseball fans. And I had forgotten. You know, it's heartbreaking. A lot of it's heartbreaking. There's great joy, and it is a happy ending to the extent that he gets to come back and play his final game, but it's heartbreaking for one thing that he said. We know the story, right? And he could have had a greater career. The play that he got hurt on was kind of like a botched play where the ball came loose and he was backing up the relay throw, and he went all out running from the grass, the outfield grass on the edge of the third base dirt, outfield
going
grass.
Going to get the ball.
Coming to tag a runner coming to third base, Carlos Lee.
Yes, yes.
And he went all out, and made the play, and he has some regret in that moment, saying, like, I was always about competitiveness and winning and going all out.
Yeah.
But you just wonder if, in that one moment, if I weren't backing up or I didn't go 100%, what would have followed since? Like, maybe my back could have been saved and I could have had, you know, a whole thing.
I know what you said.
He didn't say that, but you could see him saying, like, he was kind of questioning, like, God, that's the thanks I get for playing balls to the wall and going all out, is that because I was doing that on this particular play, which he goes, what would have been the worst that happened? The run scores, and then what? Like, in the grand scheme of things, okay, big deal, they scored a run, but his career, his life would have been altered and changed. That was a pretty powerful moment to hear that from David Wright.
But if he didn't play that way,
yeah,
he wouldn't be David Wright. And what about all the times that he did stuff like that and didn't get hurt,
yep,
which enabled him to create this, you know, for younger player, younger fans, like almost this mythical superhero, you know, infallible, impenetrable,
yep,
existence. You know, I mean, the only thing about that, I'm trying to actually see the play. I can't see the play. Surprise! I just can't,
it was
can't
an
quite
awkward,
see that play.
It was an awkward play.
I'm going to look it up because I want to see it during the break. But
I'm going to forward you this email now so I don't forget, so you can watch it.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. But to me, like, because he had spinal stenosis,
yeah,
I'm not trying to play
now
doctor.
That's something that you're born with. Which,
well,
I
that's what
I'm saying.
It's a narrowing. It's a narrowing, which to me, it almost seems like, you know, he's dreading or lamenting or questioning him playing that hard on that play because the jolt and the awkward slide and the reach did something to his back. But spinal stenosis is just a deterioration over time.
Right.
Whereas somebody like Mattingly, even somebody
this
like me, with that, like, that was just more of a blunt force trauma repositioning of the discs, which is what I had and what Mattingly had. Not to equivocate myself to Mattingly, it sounds ridiculous, but you know what I mean.
Both lefties, both wore 23, both played first.
He hit 330, he hit 330, I hit 230.
Basically twins.
Yeah. Hey, you shut up over there. This guy went to Regis High School. We kicked this guy's ass every time we played Regis. We'd look at the schedule like, all right.
Well, we were playing Don Mattingly.
Yeah, you know, you didn't have Steve Balboni on your team. We're like, oh, who we got? We got LaSalle, we got Mount St. Michael's, we got Salesian, we got Iona Prep. Oh, we got Regis, show up and smack them. No, but I don't know. I don't know if he's right in saying that because, again, the stenosis, you're born with it. It's natural. It's going to just weak.
You got to see
it. I got to see it, and I will see it.
Because I'm with you. I thought, oh, well, he had a degenerative disease, which he did. But that play where he fractured his back on, he was never the same after that.
Okay. I got to see that.
I don't know if one led to the other. I don't think so, but.
Okay, I got you.
BT, it's out. It's must watch. The Right Way. So I'll be premiering it next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.